This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. In New York this morning, two small explosions. A pair of homemade grenades went off outside the British consulate. No one was hurt by the blast, which occurred just as voters were headed to the polls in Great Britain.
Today, we're also following the arrest of an accused terrorist. Pakistani security forces say they captured a man accused of orchestrating assassination attempts against Pakistan's president. His name is not familiar to many Americans. Abu Faraj al-Libi was not on the FBI's most wanted list. To learn more about him, we've called Juliette Kayyem. She's a lecturer at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and an expert in terrorist issues. Good morning, Juliette.
Good morning.
Why wasn't Libby on the U.S. terrorist list anyway?
Well, the government will tell you that he wasn't on the list because the list is really only people where we have grand jury indictments against them, so people that we've known were involved with criminal activities in the United States. So al-Libi is new. I mean, he's like so many of the new al-Qaeda leaders. Their bosses have died, been killed, captured, or are hiding. And so al-Libi just sort of fills the space. So that's what the FBI will tell you. But I think part of the problem is the sort of difficulties with lists like this. What does it mean to say that he's number three in al-Qaeda in what is an organization that everyone now knows is highly diffuse, probably doesn't have a central force, doesn't have central management? I mean, you look at, you know, al-Libi as compared to Zarqawi in Iraq. I mean, Zarqawi's a, you know, a real find when you think about the kind of violence that he's doing in Iraq and in charge of.
Well, considering all that, then, is the White House right to say that this arrest is one of the most significant that's been made since the 9/11 attacks?
Well, I think they are right in one sense. If it's true, and I think it is true, that al-Libi has taken over from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was really the operational guy, al-Libi is probably in contact with some members of al-Qaeda, and of course everyone in the backdrop here hopes that it's bin Laden. He may know where he is or have access to him. And then the truth is, it's significant because everyone agrees that he was responsible for at least two assassination attempts against the president of Pakistan. So if you just base it on that, it's a significant find because the Pakistanis really want him. And I think because the Pakistanis have a high priority for him, I think it's very unlikely that he'll be in U.S. custody. The Pakistanis are going to want to try and convict him for his involvement with the assassinations against the president.
We get into a delicate area here.
Yeah.
Do you think that U.S. officials would rather that the Pakistanis interrogate him in any event?
I think so. I mean, the Pakistan, obviously, questions about America's interrogation tactics have been raised, but I think also there's no question that U.S. intelligence agents are likely with the Pakistanis now during the interrogations. But so long as he remains in Pakistani custody, he is the Pakistanis. They have a different court system, as we know. They don't give access to lawyers like we do. So it's a much more nimble system, if you want to call it that. And to be fair to the Pakistanis, though, he did try to kill their president. They have every incentive and I think every right to keep hold of him, at least for now, given the criminal convictions that they want to throw against him.
Hmm. Now, what is known about this man and his background, who he is?
Well, he's a Libyan. This is sort of typical of the new guys in al-Qaeda, to the extent that they didn't have the long history with bin Laden. They've sort of filled in the ranks, and most of us agree that they're probably also, you know, a little bit like the bench. They're probably not as good as, which is fortunate, like people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and others. Lots of influence in Africa, overseeing African operations, as well as probably spent some time with bin Laden, we think, in Sudan. He has a very physically, he's quite recognizable, not unlike bin Laden, in the sense he has a skin disease, so pictures of him show him as somewhat discolored. But otherwise than that, not much is known about him, except in the last 2 years, his name has appeared in a lot of the signal intelligence and other intelligence that we're picking up from computers, disks, and other things in Pakistan. So he has risen because of the effectiveness of sort of destroying the original top leadership of al-Qaeda. But, you know, as I said earlier, when we talk about the leadership of al-Qaeda now, it's a much more diffuse organization. So how much contact he had with others and how much oversight he had of operations, I think, is really going to be questionable and going to be the subject of a lot of interrogations against him.
Julia Kayyem, thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.
She's a lecturer at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government.